This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Yeah. Let's talk about you now. I told them where you went to school. I told them about your career. And I even gave them a quote to start thinking about before we hear about your presentation, which is, regarding House of Cards, you said, "This is the show in which I've taken the most pride in my career. I feel like we're reinventing episodic. We don't call it television anymore. We're in a whole new world in terms of how people are absorbing entertainment." And I want you to tell me what that means.
I was at, last week I was at the Hollywood Post Alliance Awards. Mm-hmm. And everyone was still, they were using the word TV and television, and I don't watch much TV anymore. I do, but it's not the only way that I get,
right?
You know,
right, you're watching.
And I feel like, you know, we watch shows in theaters, and they have the greatest impact to me still in the cinema. Mm-hmm. The cinema is very important. I'm very passionate about it. But we also watch them on our phones, mm-hmm. and on iPads and on other tablets, and mm-hmm. we watch them on billboards. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly, you know, when I'm in Los Angeles, when I'm driving home past Hollywood and Highland,
right.
I look at that and I'm like, that's, you know, mm-hmm. Storytelling.
Yes.
So episodic is, I feel like, a better way to put what we do, because the best drama is in episodic, mm-hmm. certainly. Let fewer and fewer important movies are made, or lasting movies are made. Mm-hmm. You know, movies that have the capability to last. People talk about shows. Episodic programming, where you really get to learn a character, learn about a characters, mm-hmm. a group, a family, and see them change for mm-hmm. several years.
Yes. There may or may not be editors in this room, but will you tell people the difference between editing television and editing film? Really, I know it's a big deal, but I mean...
Yeah.
That's thumbnail
There's
sketch.
No difference.
Yes, okay. That's not true, everyone. So.
I just really, you know... When you're making a film, usually you're making a pilot. You know, it's like creating something for the first time, something that you want to live by itself, and you want it to live, and it needs to be a story that's completely told and well told. And it's very precious, you know, and it's a big privilege to be making a film, you know, at any level. To be making a feature, and it's you know,
in terms of scheduling and money and your relationship yeah. with the director, how would you compare the two?
I'm trying to think of a short answer, but you know,
will you have more time in a film, in a feature?
I mean, generally, yeah. It's really funny. The lines are becoming blurred. The lines are blurred
because
now.
You think that you would have many, many, many weeks and many, many, many months. I mean, editing a feature can take up to a year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't have the privilege of that same schedule. You don't have the same relationship, I would assume, with a director, but I could be wrong. You're sitting in a room many times for months and months and months and months.
Yeah. No matter what, it's really fun. I mean, like, you know, when there's a lot of different divisions. Network television, you are up against a hard air day usually. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's true. And a lot of times, you're not going to be able to revisit it again very much from the first time you're cutting it. Mm-hmm. It is crunch. You know, those decisions are going to live on. And one of the reasons why I'm excited about episodic, and since I'm like all high on like saying it's not TV, I mean, there are scenes in this episode that you just watched that I re-edited, you know, months down the road.
Oh.
As if it were a feature. In a way our 13-episode season last year was a large feature, was a large 13-hour feature. And because we delivered it in, we deliver it on Valentine's Day 2014, you know, it just dropped, you know. And so we kind of like delivered it all at once, and it was all released at one, in one opus, you know. And I had that privilege. I hadn't locked picture. Now, if I had locked picture on this show, but the first episode always locks last. It's true. You know, I mean, it's very common. You know, on Big Love, the very first episode of Big Love I did was like one of the very last episodes of the season. And that's back when HBO had a little more time, a little more headroom, a little more lead room in the schedule when we were producing it. And the same with this, you know, episode.
So tell me how the process works with this, for example, this season. You were the first one up. When do you get the script? How do you work with the directors? How many directors per season?
Yeah. In this instance, at the beginning of this season, last April, I got the script, you know, very quick, but only a few days before shooting because it was under, it was really protected. And I read it, and the right away I knew a picture of the schedule, and I knew I was going to work with Carl on episodes 1 and 2. And that's something else that's changing, you know, that's just been changing in the last 2 or 3 years. You know, like I was just kind of talking about how the lines between features and television are blurred now. And the other thing about the way we shoot, and it's really common, especially for the premium programming, is they schedule on the board, on this crossboard, they are on the shooting schedule, they do something called crossboarding, and you schedule and plan the first two episodes at a time, and you shoot 2 episodes at a time, and so the directors direct 2 episodes at once, and they're just hired on to direct not just 1 episode anymore, it's for 2. And it's all in the name of being more efficient. So I'm usually paired with that director for the 2 episodes as well. And so then I'm cutting 2 episodes. And that's crazy.
Simultaneously.
I now live in a world where I'm constantly worried about keeping up to camera. And that's cutting as fast as they shoot. You know, I'm usually trying to cut something that they just shot yesterday or as soon as I get my dailies in my machine. And so I'm now saddled with a little extra component to know what episode I'm cutting, what story I'm telling, and to know what world I'm in. And there are several times it gets so confusing because I'm not just cutting 55 pages or so. I'm cutting like 120 pages. So I am cutting a mini movie. And they shoot for 20 days. They shoot 10 days per episode on House of Cards. I am cutting 120 pages of script in 21 days. And then I've got like a day or two to noodle around with and throw in some music and play with some sound. Because I don't have a dedicated assistant generally myself. I've just kind of like started working on my own because on House of Cards we actually do use a pool of assistants.
And editing is, as Frank Pearson worked with Byron and was the president of the Motion Picture Academy twice and president of the Writers Guild twice, and he actually said that if there were 2 guilds that should be joined, it would be the Editors Guild and the Screenwriters Guild, because editing is the final rewrite of the screenplay. The editor holds the final product in his or her hands. It's an incredible creative tool to be an editor. It's a phenomenal career, actually.
It's always, yes. It's you know, There's an extraordinary amount of power you have in the cutting room. You know, there's a lot of chances that it's. I've been told several times, make something out of nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Save this or fix this, and you're rewriting and you're creating something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that because you know. When you've got to start with a good script, and you've got to rewrite your script, and you've got to rewrite that rewrite and rewrite it again, and you've got to make sure you have the best possible story first, and you really have to put that time into the script.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you shoot it, you rewrite it again, and when you cut it, it now exists in a visual form.
Mm-hmm.
and it's not just a book anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so you have to do what's the best for the story,
mm-hmm.
you know, have that impact.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Questions?
So my question is, if I'm understanding this correctly, you may be cutting episode 1 and 2 directed by the same director. Is there then another editor working with maybe James Foley or somebody who's doing 3 and 4?
Is
that a separate editor? Okay. So my question is that by the time you're ready to cut 5 and 6 or 7 and 8, have you watched the work of the other editor to see how the script and the story is progressing and building? As it might kind of affect your cutting decisions for some future show?
Yeah, absolutely. When you have time.
That's my point.
Yeah.
When would you have time, and isn't some of that work happening simultaneously?
Yeah, it's happening simultaneously, and you know, when we see each other in the kitchen, you try to read the scripts first. In your spare time, I don't know what that is, you know, but you know, somehow you figure it out a way to see what's going to be shot, what's upcoming, because it's my responsibility to set up the rest of the season in a way, you know. And I mean, just this last week, I was cutting something and it's with Robin Wright, and I turned to her and I said, we should cut the scene this way, and she was like, really? And I said, if I'm wrong, it's because I haven't read this next script. And then, because it was we were talking about a visual style, you know, I was like, I think we want to construct this scene like this. And she was kind of like, really? And then it was I haven't had time, and I'm so adamant about reading things. And we actually, all this season, have been like a little bit, we're like, I'm behind. Are you behind? Yeah, I'm behind. And a lot of that. And then, sure enough, like, I read it that night, and I was like, oh my gosh, I was wrong. You know, and...
And then what did you do?
Oh, I was just like, you're right. I told her, I said, I hadn't read the next script. Right. You know, and it wasn't like a big deal.
Right, right.
You know, I was still half right. No, I'm kidding. No. No, I was completely
wrong. Are
editors
ever wrong?
And like, yeah, and I was completely, oh, yeah. You know, and but that's just a really, like, timely example of, yeah, you are. I mean, when I got this job in season 1 and I was cutting episode 9, I asked Peter Mavromates, he is the godfather of our post department. And he, because it's a battleship, our post department, and it's very strong and he's a great captain to lead it. And he hired me and I asked him if I could read all the scripts, because 9, you know, that's like a lot of scripts to read up to. And he said, oh, if you want to. And I said, I definitely want to keep this job and I want to make an impact. And I said, can I get the script after mine as well? Can I get 10? Would that be okay with Bo if I read ahead as well? Because that might get into a little limited territory. I even could be, I mean, like some organizations, some people might not even want me to read beyond the page of what I'm doing. But they let me read 1 through 9, and I did, and then I read 10. And I did things, a lot of things, because I knew what was coming up. And I really studied one and two. You know, Kirk Baxter and David did the first two of the series together. And I...
As directors or editors?
Kirk Baxter's his editor. Mm-hmm. And...
Does Fincher cut on the show?
He directs and he produces.
Okay.
You know, and he's a godfather producer, mm-hmm. You know, on this, and very involved in season one and season two, and they did, and I really studied. I watched episode one and two 6 times, you know, or I think, or like I had it going on loop, you know, for a day before I started working, so it would just become second nature to me and the style that they'd created because I was trying to be loyal to it. You know, I did it with Jamie Foley, you know, that episode, and Jamie really was also like he was very vigilant about David's rules that David had set up, you know, and we only wanted to use 3 lenses or something like that. Mm. You know, you could not, there were specific rules to the camera and no Steadicam, things like that. So and
it's beautifully shot.
I sat with Jamie when I was sitting with Jamie. You know, we would go. You know, is this right for the show? Because we, you know, mm-hmm. and as you should be with any show.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sheila was talking about the editor as another screenwriter in some ways, and so I'm curious about your sense of ownership over your cut because it changes a lot, and you seem very excited about the collaboration, but to what extent do you feel like, do you get protective at all about the ways you see things? And sort of related to that, you know, what is the extent of your power? Can you really fix a bad movie? Is that actually possible? So, thanks.
Yeah, it is. I really, yeah.
Didn't you shoot one with Ray Kimsey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of cuts in my life, and I think I'm going to do a few more, and I don't take any ownership over my edits, and I really like to invite people to come in, and even when I'm breaking down a scene, there's a long history of, like, it being a really precious thing, and it is. And like I said, I mean, like, I really tell myself that, like, it's a privilege to be doing this, and it's a privilege to be editing it, and there's a lot at stake, and I want to make, you know, the right decisions, and I really think about it. And I mean, I hear comments from directors and producers all the time, and I'm just like rolling my eyes, and I'm just like, are you crazy? And then I try it, and I'm like, wow. That made the world a better place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I tell you what, it happens 1 time in 100 that, you know, I love to come to work with an open mind, and when you do work hard, you don't have to worry about ownership or pride or anything like that. You know, or because when you work hard, then more often than not, and after a little bit of practice, people watch what you're doing and say, oh, that's really good, let's do it again. Oh, that's really good, moving on. And you don't do anything to it. You know, there's plenty of stuff. I mean, like, I've lost count, you know, of like how many things have aired, you know, scenes and in some cases episodes that I didn't do anything. You know,
it is unusual to have such a great relationship with the directors. I mean, there are famous stories, I'm sure you know about them, where, you know, editors get locked out of their own rooms because directors are saying that the editor's ruining my movie, or mm-hmm. vice versa. So, you know, there are famous stories. So it's very unusual that Byron has such a
Yeah, I've not had that. I've not had that. Yeah. I've not had that. And I mean, I've met people and I've worked with people like that I've been like, you know, that you approach differently and that you handle differently. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the cufflinks scene from an editor's perspective towards the end?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one shot. And so it's a little... I mean, I was really excited. I don't know, is there anything... What else were you thinking?
My partner and I, we watched the scene, and right before the cufflinks scene, he said, F you, Frank.
Yeah.
And the cufflinks scene appeared. So I'm curious about what the conversation was, and from an editor's perspective, what did you contribute to,
I mean,
that scene?
The only thing I did, I think, was roll the end credits over the cufflinks.
So that was the director's choice. To, yeah,
it was. I mean, there was some kind of like there were some. Yeah, it was designed to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a scene that was designed from beginning to end, and it was supposed to be just, I think, one. Do it in one. There wasn't anything else for me to cut to except for to find the timing. The thing that you can do as an editor that starts to peel back the layers of how complex my job is, I was really working on making sure his performance was as crisp as it could be, and I think that maybe we touched up and polished a few words, you know, and took them from other takes, and make sure that we, you know, he's on the same timbre, and, you know, you can improve a performance like that, and that's usually sometimes what you do. I do that in every scene. I do that all the time, in lines off camera, on camera, put lines in people's mouths all the time. And something else we do now, even that, you know, makes the job deeper is, we'll do a split screen. There's a lot of split screens. I mean, like most of this show is a visual effect in some way, and sometimes so that if somebody was off camera, because you watch most shows and every line's on camera, but we try to not do that because it's so much more interesting to see someone reacting to what they're hearing. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you're feeling, if their shoulder or their mouth or their face, the backside of their face is in frame, then I split the screen and then we take it into After Effects and we marry the two into one frame so that I'm able to control the pacing and the performance. At the end, when he calls Jackie into his office, they perform that differently and we slow down the pacing and, you know, felt like it worked a lot better.
You can have the one last question then.
So I want to congratulate you for that work. And every night, me and my fiance we watch the show. But it's a very good job. And I hate Underwood.
Yeah, you've done your job.
You know, staying behind and you know, make all this stuff happen. It's terrible. It's terrible, you know. And I was the one who said F. When I was very upset. F, you know, everybody knows what F means when you are upset. And at the end, I saw the F you. I said, this is my answer. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Well, thanks. It's a good time to end. We you know, Beckett over here is probably ready to go out into the lobby and have some food. And thank you so much. And thank you, Byron. Just
Thanks.
A wonderful, wonderful time. And thank you so much for
Thanks
coming
for
up
having
here.
Me. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.